Thankful this morning for the hope of the gospel. Appreciate the truth of the gospel and its direct application to our lives. I'd like to write the subject on the board this morning. I've written going out. Now, I'm not specifically going to be talking about dating this morning, but it might fit. I'd like to bring a message from the Gospel of John in the 10th chapter. Desire and interest in your prayers. I feel a special burden with this message and pray that God would be able to minister to all of our hearts, mine included. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John and the 9th verse, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I'd like to consider a few key points from these verses. The first thing that we read, Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." What is a door? A door is special because it provides a barrier and a protection like a wall does, but it can efficiently open to provide passage when needed. You don't need a rope or a ladder or a chainsaw to get through the wall if you need passage. A door is not meant to be complicated. Doors are not meant to be difficult to open. They're intended to be a blessing. They're intended to serve a very useful purpose to keep bad things out and good things in, to provide that barrier when you need it, but access in both going in and going out. When carpenters install doors in houses, they don't say, "You know, I wonder how difficult we can make this door to be to open. Let's see if we can find some hinges that are really hard to open. Let's see if we can put this door in a bind." Doors are intended to close and stay locked if that's what they need to be. But if you need to get through it, they're intended to be just a wonderful blessing. You don't have to work hard to go through the door. I'm glad for doors. Doors are simple. They're common. And they are very needed. Jesus, in humility, was willing to come down to this earth and become a door for us, to be our security, to provide safety for us, whether going in or out. That's what we read here. We'll get to that in a minute. And without Jesus Christ, without being able to go through Him who is our door, we are unable to access the eternal realm. We are unable to access peace, soul peace. We're unable to find fulfillment that all of us desire in life. All of us are trying to find fulfillment. All of us would like the right answer. I don't go in search of the wrong answer unless it's to help me understand the right answer. I want to understand truth. And it is only through Jesus Christ that we can find that. And He came to be that for us. And as the surrounding scriptures bear out in this 10th chapter of John, there's only one door. There's not more than one door. Jesus said, "I'm the door." Didn't point to anybody else as being the door. There's just one way to access God. There's just one way that we are going to find soul peace. There's only one way that we can find the fullness of truth in our lives, and it's through Jesus Christ. And we each one have to go through that door for ourselves. My parents can't do it for me. My grandparents can't do it for me. The church cannot go through that door for me, and then by association, I can claim as having gone through the door. I have a responsibility. If I want truth, if I want salvation, if I want to find soul peace and fulfillment, I must go through Jesus Christ, who is the door. Access to these things cannot be found through professions only. Access to Jesus Christ and salvation and truth cannot be found through long-held standards that we have held for many years and that we hold up. That's not our door. Sacrifice, much sacrifice, personal sacrifice. Sacrifice does not get me through the door. Yes, sacrifice is involved. Jesus Christ said, "If any man will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily." But that involves going after Jesus Christ because He is our door. There are many people in the world that have sacrificed way more than Christians that will make it to heaven. Have suffered many things that won't make it in. Jesus Christ is our door to eternal life. You believe that this morning? I do, and I think that probably everyone here believes that is the case. So I'd like to, in the time that we have this morning, briefly consider two main elements that were brought out in these scriptures. Jesus said, "I am the door," in the 9th verse. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And listen to this part. "And shall go in and out." Both in and out. He didn't just say go in. He said go in and out and find pasture. And this morning, I am inspired to speak on going in and going out. First, the coming in part. Won't spend as long on the coming in part. I think this morning that coming through Jesus to find salvation is something that we all can align around without a whole lot of debate, confusion, disagreement. I think this morning that we believe that. I don't pray to anybody else but Jesus Christ for my salvation. I don't go to anybody else. If I'm unsaved and I need help in my soul, I must go in through Jesus to find salvation. We don't disagree on that. I don't believe that I can find soul peace any other way except through Jesus Christ. I've got to go in through Jesus Christ to find that help. And when I get in trouble, and when I reach the end of my way, I run to the city of refuge, which is Jesus Christ. And I run into the city of refuge through the door, which is Jesus Christ, to find help. If I want into the fold, it is through Jesus Christ. We talk a lot about, and we've heard a lot about, as we've grown up, as we are in church, hopefully at home, in our family worship, we have learned much about going in to the sheepfold, going in through Jesus Christ. Specifically, when we sin and we fail, we exhort and we teach to go in through Jesus. When we are discouraged, we teach and we encourage to go into Jesus Christ. Go to Jesus. Go through the door that you may be encouraged. When we are feel empty inside, when we feel and recognize we are ill-equipped to be able to handle the challenges of life, we can go through the door into Jesus, away from where we are, is what I'm trying to say. We recognize, I'm ill-equipped, I don't have what I need, I'm in trouble, I go to Jesus Christ. When I am sick, in soul or in body, and I find there isn't anything I can do for myself, I go to Jesus. It's a privilege to be able to go to Jesus Christ for help. And so we go into the door to Jesus Christ. What about the going out part? That's the essence of my message this morning. I'm interested this morning in thinking about, what about going out? What does that entail? And I wonder this morning that if we checked in with Jesus before we went out more often, if we took Him with us when we went out, if we would go through Jesus Christ when we go out, if maybe there would be fewer instances where we have to come in to Jesus Christ with discouragement and feeling empty and sick in soul and body and being ill-equipped and finding ourselves in a very difficult, unfortunate place. I think the Lord wants to protect us from a lot of things in life. That if we would take the time before we go out, that we would go through Jesus Christ. That we would go through the door that the Lord has provided for us. That we would save ourselves a lot of trouble in life. That we would save other people trouble that are influenced by our lives. We eagerly go to Jesus Christ when we need help, don't we? When we recognize that we're in trouble. When we recognize that we are on empty, and we look around and there are no gas stations to refuel, and we are in a desert place, we eagerly go to Jesus and say, Lord, please have mercy on me. But do we just as eagerly go through Jesus Christ when we believe we already have the answer? When we believe that we have all the strength that we need, when we believe that we have it all figured out, when we don't think that the Lord maybe needs to be involved, perhaps, and we're just going out, do we just as eagerly, before we go out, stop and ask the Lord, what about this? Lord, will you go with me? Lord, would you enlighten my understanding? Lord, would you help protect me? And Lord, if I am preparing to go a way that I shouldn't go, Lord, if what I think is right isn't right. See, a lot of times when we believe that we have it all figured out and we're right and we're on secure ground, we're a lot more ready to just go out without pausing to ask the Lord to go with us, because we believe and we feel like we got it. And then we get ourselves into trouble because we figure out that, well, we didn't have it. We needed more help than what we thought we needed. Have you ever performed an activity or prepared to be engaged in an activity and you didn't really want to get advice ahead of time? You didn't really want to ask your parents what they thought about it. You didn't really want to go to somebody else about it ahead of time because you were fearful of what they might say. You already had this inkling, maybe, something might not be right about this, but you don't want to be challenged. You don't want to be told you're wrong. You have in your mind what you want to do. And so, there's a little phrase that says it's easier to, what, ask for forgiveness than permission. If I get in a place where I've got to come back, well, then I'll ask for forgiveness, but I'm going to do this. This is in my heart and in my mind to do. I've thought about it. I've got this. I'm going to go and do this. A lot of times, as human beings, when we feel strongly about something, we can be more fearful or more hesitant, more withdrawn to go and getting a second bit of advice or from somebody that maybe has been there before, because we're stuck on what it is we want to do. And some people, even in their error, will silently continue on. Other people will loudly march on and take casualties with them, because we're not willing to stop at the door and inquire of the Lord, "Lord, will you help me? Lord, what about this? Lord, what doth the word of the Lord say?" May God help us have the humility that we need as people, as human beings, as mortals, to be willing to ask when we don't feel like asking, to be willing to stop when we realize we might get an answer that's different from the purpose that we have in our hearts and in our minds. I remember one time when I was young, before I was in school, before I was in grade school, maybe I was 3 or 4. It's one of those instances that has stuck with me very strongly. I went with my mom to Sister Nedra Watkins' house. She eventually married Brother Clifford Wilson. But I was a small boy at the time, and there was a group of them talking in the living room, and I wasn't real interested in their conversation. And so I slipped out and wandered into this house that I wasn't familiar with, which was kind of exciting. And I found a book of matches. It's one of those cardboard book of matches. You know, that you tear off and it's like a piece of cardboard that's about this long. And looked around and I wanted to strike one of those matches. So I tore one of those things off, and they're only about that long. And you have to be careful with them, because if you're not careful, they just crumble in your, you know, they bend. They're not like a wooden match. You gotta be careful with those things. Well, I think I tried to get one of them lit off and decided I didn't need to go ask. "Mom, what do you think about this? I found this book of matches. I'd like to strike one of them. What do you think about this before I engage in this activity?" I didn't believe that was necessary for me to do, because I was mature. I wasn't 2 or 3. I was 4. I was 4 years old. I had this well in hand. And so I didn't need to go ask what somebody else thought about my ability to do this. So I think I tried the first one and it didn't work, and I don't remember where that match went. So I pulled another one off, and I got it lit. I struck that thing, but you have to put your fingers down close to the bottom, because if you put it up at the top, you know, they fold them, you can't get. So I had my finger down close to the bottom. Well, you know what happened. As soon as that thing lit, it lit right onto my finger. And immediately, I had a blister on my finger. And as soon as it hit my finger, I dropped that match too, because now my finger was more important than the match. And I experienced a lot of pain. And my mind was going quickly, not just about the pain, but the next steps. Because I was a mature 4, so I thought. But then I found that I needed my mommy, because I was hurting. And so I went into the room and couldn't help myself. I think I was crying. "Mom, I burned my finger." And at this time, I stopped thinking about the second and third order effects. Burned your finger. Well, what happened to your finger? Oh. I burned my finger. Yeah, but how did you burn your finger? Well, I got it with a match. A match? I had everybody's attention in the living room. A match? Where's the match? I don't know. You don't know? I don't know. And everyone forgot about my finger. No one cared about my finger anymore. The room vacated. All of them. And I still have a very vivid memory of watching all of these adults crawl like ants around the carpet in the floor looking for matches. They were all bent over going around in a circle trying to find... How many matches did you light? Well, I'm not sure. Where was it? Well, it was somewhere over there. And nobody cared anything about me or my burned finger. All they were concerned about was finding something that I wasn't concerned about anymore because my finger hurt. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Fire's good if it's used in the right way. Fire's not good if it's not used in the right way. And to all the children here today, don't light matches. It's a bad deal. It can change the rest of your life in a bad way. Don't even think about it. Run away from them. I was blessed that day because the house didn't burn down, and I survived to tell about it. But we say to ourselves, well, we know better. We know how to handle it. We got it. I don't need to ask anybody about this. I want to do this. I want to try this out. I know what matches are. I know they burn things. I have this well in hand. What makes us as adults so confident this morning that we have all understanding on a particular matter? Did you know that I have found in my own life, as I sure am sure you are too, I'm learning and growing all the time. Don't be afraid to seek God's advice. Don't be afraid to stop at the door on your way out, regardless of how much you think you understand the situation. Don't be afraid to ask the Lord, Lord, what about this? What doth the word of the Lord say? Lord, what do you have for me in this? Be humble to ask God for help in life, regardless of what it is. When you go out, children, young people, seek the advice of your parents in things. There's times in our lives we think we have it all figured out until you find out that you didn't. And sometimes it can result in life-changing situations for you. Bad things can happen in life that you can't avoid if you'll be willing to say, hey mom, hey dad, what about this? I'm thinking about doing this. I'm getting ready to do this. This is what I have in my heart to do. What are your thoughts on this? Don't be afraid of an answer that's different from what you have in your mind to do. It might be the very best thing that ever happened to you. That you stopped and that you paused and that you asked for help. Don't be afraid, Christians, this morning. Don't be afraid to search and try your ways and turn again unto God. Practices that you hold, ways that you live. Jeremiah said, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto God. Not one time, not just one day, but as we live our lives, may God help us be humble enough and willing to be searching our lives and asking the Lord and His Holy Spirit, Lord, search my heart, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord,
if I'm going down a path that is not consistent with the Word of God, Lord, please help me to understand what it is and help me to be humble enough, as we heard this morning in Sunday school, that if I've got off path, that I would be willing to get back according to the Word of the Lord and follow it. Lord, be merciful to me in those things. Truth will always carry the day. Following things that are not truth will get us into trouble. Jesus is truth. He said He was the door. And we can be saved from a lot of trouble if we'd be willing to go through the door on our way out when we go out. God, Jesus wants to go with us to find good pasture. Literally speaking, when we have no shame in our own home, when we're not trying to cover anything up, we go out the front door. Doesn't matter who's in the living room. We might get stopped. Mom or dad may say, "Hey, where are you going?" "Well, I'm going such and such." "Okay, have a good time. Hey, you might want to think about this." Better yet, it's good to go through the front door so that somebody is there, so that you can say, "Hey, I'm getting ready to do this. Would you help me think through this? What do you think about this?" But if we're not comfortable where we're going in the house, talking about literally, we might slip out the back window because we don't want to go through the door. Because we're not sure what that might entail. It might entail I have to change my plans. It might entail that what I wanted to do got stopped. I might have got talked into something different and saw the truth of it for myself, but I don't want to see the truth of it. So I go out the back window so that I don't have to face the authority at the front door. And then when we come back in, we don't want to be asked, "Well, where were you?" We want to just come in through the back window, slip in, no harm, no foul, right? The first verse says, "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." You know, sometimes we would like to participate in things that are contrary to the rules of the household, but we would like to enjoy the benefits that the household provides. Right? Haven't we all been there before? Particularly as young people, we're in the house, we like the refrigerator to stay full. We like to be able to partake from the refrigerator. We like our clothes to be washed. We like the roof over our head. We like it when the heat comes on, when it's cold and the air to come on, when it's hot. But then sometimes we want to do things our own way that then affects the ones that own the household. And we want to push our way into the keeper of the household, but we want to enjoy the benefits of the household. That's in a literal sense. In a spiritual sense, be willing to go through the door. Jesus Christ. Be willing to say, "Lord, what would Thou have me to do?" And then be willing to follow it regardless of where that takes us. Jesus is always a safe path. Even if He gives us direction that's contrary to what we had our hearts set on, He's always the best mechanism to go through. He is all truth. He is our door. "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." Get to know the voice of the shepherd. Get acquainted with Jesus Christ. Make it a practice and a habit and a desire in your life that when you come in for help, when you have a great need, go to Jesus. Go into the fold. Go through Jesus Christ. Don't try to find it some other way, but include the Lord that He may help you get the help that you need to get. And when we go out, the Lord wants to lead us. He wants to go with us. He wants us to find good pastures. He wants us to experience life and more abundant life. But I can't do that unless I go through the door, unless I go through Jesus Christ. Let's be challenged this morning in our lives. Let's have a a renewed sense of urgency. Let's be diligent today in our walk with the Lord, that, Lord, help me in all areas of my life to go through You. Sometimes when we feel like it's not a spiritual thing, it's just day-to-day tasks. It's just the responsibilities I have in life. It's just my hobby. It's just something I'm doing for some downtime. And we think that, well, it's not really a spiritual thing, so I don't really need to go to the Lord about it. Go to the Lord about those things. Because many times we're going out into a spirit world where there are influences that would get a hold of us if we're not careful, if we don't ask the Lord, Lord, what about this? I don't see anything wrong with it, but Lord, would You go with me? You know what tomorrow holds. You know what the next hour holds. I don't. Lord, would You go with me? And in spiritual things, sometimes if it is something that we deem as a spiritual thing that we already have a handle on, we got it. The Lord will understand if we jump over the wall and go out, because, well, after all, we're doing something that's good, it's spiritual, it's right, and we have zeal without knowledge. Because we can get carried away with what we believe is right for good reason, and our motives are good, but we failed to go through the door. We failed to go through Jesus Christ. Be willing, whether you believe it's a non-spiritual thing in your life or a spiritual thing, Jesus Christ wants to be involved in your life. He wants to be your door. Whether you're going out or whether you're coming in, the Lord wants to lead us not just to life, but to abundant life. And He takes pleasure in giving us peace and joy and happiness and security. And He takes great joy in opening our eyes when we come to Him and enlightening us with the knowledge of the truth. But our responsibility is to come to Him, that we might be enlightened by His Holy Spirit. May the Lord give us all understanding in these things. May God bless each one of you richly this morning is my prayer. Amen.